travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me, leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. For I need thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. I need thee every hour through this pilgrim land. Protect me by thy saving power. Hear my feeble plea. Oh Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Let me travel in the light divine that I may see the blessed way. Keep me that I may be holy thine and sing redemption song someday. I will be a soldier brave and true and ever firmly take a stand. As I onward go and daily meet the foe, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. I need thee every hour through this pilgrim land. Protect me by thy saving power. Hear my feeble plea. Oh Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. When I wander through the valley dim toward the setting of the sun, lead me safely to a land of rest if I a crown of life have won. I have put my faith in thee, dear Lord, that I may reach the golden strand. There's no other friend on whom I can depend. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. I need thee every hour through this pilgrim land. Protect me by thy saving power. Hear my feeble plea. Oh Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand.
I need to hold this up. When old Satan comes to tempt you and he tries to make you doubt, the Lord is there to take you by the hand. With his loving arms around you, he'll gently lift you out. He will comfort you and give you grace to stand. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by those wounds in his hands. When this world is crumbling round you, and it seems that no one cares, and you feel that there's no use to carry on, Just remember, Jesus loves you, and he cares for his own. He'll be standing there when your other friends have gone.
Yes, he will.
Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by those wounds in his hands. Yes, you will know him by those wounds in his hands.
This thing? Okay.
He told me this morning he had one.
What song are you looking for? Bring it over here.
No, is that mine or
you?
What? I'm gonna just
stand here. You go.
You're about to sing.
I'll try. Okay, you ready? You gotta start.
You're fine.
I don't even. Go.
On a few comes
in. Jesus Christ.
You're not
saying
it.
Yeah, see? Don't help. I don't know this one. You gotta come here with my song.
Come here.
Ready?
You ready?
You gonna sing with me?
Six. On the hill called Calvary, that's my Lord, suffered for me, carried the cross all the way, my sins to atone. They nailed him to the cross, dreading the pain and the loss. He suffered it all because he loved me. Because he loved me, my Savior died. Praise his name, he loved me so, and I
Little man, come here a minute. I'll show your pawpaw something. Papa, look at this. You know that's a Clemson Tiger sign. That's a Clemson Tiger sign. Well, we're looking at the front. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 4. John, be ready Wednesday night. John chapter 4. We're going to read a lot of verses, so please bear with me. You know I'm not the best reader in the world. I hope he comes back, brother. We can sing in the heavenly choir. John chapter 4. Jesus, the master soul winner. We're going to start in verse 1. As I said, we're going to read a lot of verses, so please bear with me. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Now remember that right there. He must needs. If you'll study a map, he went the long way to get to Galilee. He went out of his way to get there. He went out of his way for this one woman. Will we go out of our way for anybody? But let's go on. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Let's stop there for a minute. You see Jesus' his human part here. He was weary. It's a pretty good haul. He was weary. He was tired. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence thou hast thou that living water? Are thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. Thou hast five husbands, and whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that saith thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, and the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. The group running around today say that Jesus never claimed to be the Messiah. They need to read John chapter 4. Right there he just said, I am he. I'm the Messiah. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot. And that's a big important point, because water is important in that part of the country. It's important everywhere. But she left her water pot and went her way into the city and said unto the men, saith unto the men. Now the women wouldn't have nothing to do with her. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. A lot of commentaries right there believe that this is where the Samaritans was coming out. When he looked and told them, said, the harvest is white. He was talking about them coming to him, but let's go on. And he reapeth received wages, and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I send you to reap that wherein you bestowed no labor, other men labor, and you are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And she said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we pray, dear God, you'd help us now. Lord, that we'd see the importance and how to win souls from the master soul winner. Lord, we see him go out of his way for one soul, but it ended up many got saved in Samaritan. We know later there's a great revival there in the book of Acts. Lord, we thank you that Jesus was the first to go to the Gentiles. And Lord, I pray that you'd have your way now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me say first of all that the Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans. The Samaritans was what we'd call half-breeds. They was half-Jew and half-something else. So therefore, the Jewish people would have nothing to do with them, especially the priests and the Pharisees and all that. They didn't want nothing. They would go out of their way to not go through Samaria. Jesus went out of his way to go into Samaria to witness to one person. I think, first of all, we can see it. He showed us a very great interest and concern for one soul. He showed us a concern. When do we get concerned about a lost soul? It's normally when we find out they're on the deathbed or they're dead. And then we say, I hope they're saved. I wonder if they're saved. You can read all through this again and you see that he went out of his way. Verse 4, and we'll look at that a couple times. And he must needs go through Samaria. He didn't have to, but he went to witness to this woman. And notice he sent his disciples away. The Jews wouldn't even talk to the Samaritans, let alone a man talk to a woman. It didn't happen. But Christ was worried about her soul and knew how to approach her. He had a concern. I think that's the first thing missing in most churches today, is a concern over loss going to hell. And if every one of us in here will be honest, every one of us has got family members or we got friends that's on their way to hell that needs saving. Every one of us. We need to get concerned about them. Moms, dads, when was the last time we cried, we shed tears over our babies that's on their way to hell? When was the last time we cried over our grandbabies that may be out in the world, our nieces and nephews, even our neighbors? We'll cry over a movie. We'll cry, but when do we get concerned that they're going to hell? Hell ain't a short period. We like to talk about heaven and eternity and it being forever and ever. Hell's forever too. It'll be cast into the lake of fire. We need to get concerned, first of all, with our children. If we're not concerned, you can stand in here all day and pray for my kids, pray for my kids, but when do you pray for them? When do I pray for them? If we don't pray for them, how can we ask somebody else to pray for him? Let's go on. He was concerned. Then he went out of his way to win one soul. He went through Samaria again in verse 4. He was willing to put himself to some inconvenience in order to win one poor, sinful woman to himself. A woman that had to come and draw water in the middle of the day. If you study the Word of God, they went early in the morning and late in the afternoon to draw water. They didn't go in midday. It's hot. The reason she had to go then is because probably the other women of the town would have nothing to do with her because of her reputation. She came by herself, bearing her water pots to get water. Will me and you inconvenience ourselves just a little bit to see somebody get saved? What do you mean by that, preacher? What about you woke up this morning at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, somebody on your heart that you needed to pray for? Would you turn over and try to go back to sleep? Or would you start praying? What about God told you tomorrow, you need to go over here and visit this person? I ain't got time. Well, that's the preacher's job. I agree it's the preacher's job. But I agree it's your job too. If you're a child of God and God lays somebody on your heart, you're the one that can win them, not the preacher. God wouldn't have laid them on your heart. I believe that. I believe when God lays somebody on your heart, He's prepared that heart also. You say, well, why, when I get there, sometimes they act. That's because they are under conviction so bad. You know the best calls you ever get? Preacher, I can't sleep. I can't eat. Will you come and talk to me? They're in the best shape they've ever been in because they're under old-timey Holy Ghost conviction. Amen. What about somebody wakes you up and ask you to come and tell them about the Lord? Will you get up and go? Or will you gripe? Will you gripe? I don't feel like going tonight. Jesus went out of His way for one person. That one person, after she got saved, went back into the town. Many believed on Him because of her. Many more believed because of Him. This one woman. I wonder how many got saved that day. The Bible don't tell us. Why don't the Bible tell us? It's dealing with Gentiles. Remember what I told you about Numbers? The Jews, God deals with them in Numbers. When you get to the Gentiles, God never gives you numbers on Gentiles. He don't give you no number here. They were Gentile dogs is what the Jewish people looked at them. But God Himself went into Samaria. Had a burden, had a concern. How many of us in here care that every second since I've been up here preaching, there have been several people dropped off into hell? You may have a telephone call or a message when you get back to on your cell phone. Somebody died. And then the first thing, well, I hope they're saved. Why didn't we ask it before? A concern. Go out of our way sometimes. Luke 10, 31 through 33, actually. And all of you know this story about the priest and the Levi and the Samaritan. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he saw, was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And if you'll go ahead and study that, he put him on his beast, and he took him and poured oil and wine into his wounds and took care and said, if there are any more left, when I come back, I'll repay you even more. Who showed the concern? Who went out of his way for that one person? Would that be me and you? Or maybe we'd walk over there and just see, I ain't getting tied up with that. Lord, we take time to try to help. But we take time to tell Him what God's done for us. But we have a concern even. I want you to think about this now. I had to look up this one word. I stole this outline. I'm studying a book, How to Be a Soul Winner. And this is, I stole this outline from him. He was friendly, winsome, and sympathetic in his approach. What winsome means, W-I-N-S-O-M-E, he means he was pleasing, engaging. He didn't think he was better than she was. Now, whoa, preacher. He was the Lord. She had been married 5 times. The man she's with, and he didn't think he was better than she was. I think that's a lot of our problems today. We think we're better than everybody else. You know what? We all put our pants on the same way. And I've said this in here before, and I'm going to say it again. When you go in the bathroom, you have to turn the suction fan on just like I do. None of us is any better. It's by the grace of God that we're here tonight. If it wasn't by the grace of God and the Holy Spirit, any of us could be still in hubcaps before in the morning. He was not reserved, distant, and cold, or self-important. Think about how he could have acted, but he didn't. He loved her. He didn't love her sin. Now think of a man named Jack Walters. He's probably the best I've ever seen at talking. He ain't a preacher. He follows the fire. And he hands out tracts. He rents a booth at the fire. And he keeps all kind of tracks there. And he can talk to anybody about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the best I've ever seen. And this man has got a track for any excuse you come up with. He's got a track for it. He will set up at Cleveland County Fair. They're not having it this year, but he'll set up down there. And him and his wife's got an RV. And when he retired from his job, he felt like that's what God wanted him to do. And that's all he does now is follow the fire from place to place and hands out tracts. He has had the privilege of winning some of the fire people to the Lord because of his testimony. He don't meet a stranger. He don't think he's better than you are. But he tells people about Jesus. What's mine and your excuse? Well, preacher, I can't talk to them. We can't. We ain't got the words to say. But when we depend on the Holy Spirit, God, give me the words to say to this person. Now, I want you to think about, he didn't think he is more important. Well, I'm the pastor. I'm pretty important. No, I'm not. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Amen. Yes, I'm the pastor, but that don't make me no more important than any of you. We're all sinners saved by grace. And we all have to stand in front of an almighty God. You know what's the difference between me and you? I got to give an account for more than you do. Were we willing to talk to people in Walmart? It's getting ready to get Christmas shopping season. Believe it or not, it's here. I don't know how this is going to work. But they'll have all these sales, but all the lines won't be open. You'll hear people cussing, threatening, especially Black Friday. You'll hear all that. But what about somebody praising the Lord?
Amen.
I'm going to put her on the spot. Christy, how many times you ever heard anybody praising the Lord on Black Friday? She works at Walmart. And I guarantee you, I don't mean this bad. I'm not putting her on the spot. But I guarantee with other people's attitude, it's hard for her to praise the Lord there too. You know, me and you might could make somebody's day by just showing them a little bit of kindness during that time. Not think we're better than they are. Your clothes might be a little bit better than mine. You might drive a little nicer car than me. You might live in a little better house than me. But you know what? The cross is, at the foot of the cross, it's level. When we stand in front of an almighty God, it's level. Ain't no big names and little names. Don't matter who your parents was. Don't matter who my parents was. Don't matter if we was dirt poor. But we're all important to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, this is something that caught me a little bit. I'd never thought about this, okay? He asked a favor of the one whom he is trying to win. Look at verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. There's at the well, he started a conversation. Most people, now not everybody, most people like to help people. Whether it's giving you a drink of water, whether it's giving you directions, most people, not all people, like to help you. And a lot of times you can get started in a conversation, and he did by just asking for a drink of water. Give me a drink. And then you notice she said, you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan, and all the, she didn't put it exactly like that, but it's what she's saying. He asked her a favor. Now listen to me. When you're trying to win somebody to the Lord, do not go to the bar with them. Don't go to the nightclub with them. Don't do something stupid. Well, I'm going to win them to the Lord drinking a beer. No, you're not. You're not going to win them to the Lord by sinning. They're looking for something different in you. She gave Jesus a drink. But then, as said, it just blew my mind when I looked at this. If you asked in a right way, most people is going to react to that. But if I come up to you and tell you, "Give me it," what are you going to do? You drop dead, sucker. I mean, that's what you're going to say. You ain't getting it. I ain't having nothing to do with you. If you ask people in the right way about something like that, they're going to respond. If you ask directions in the right way, us men don't ask directions. I know that. But you see what I'm trying to say? You start the conversation, and normally if you go up to somebody and say, "Hey, you're going to hell," you just ended that conversation. But if you start that conversation, and I learned a long time ago, when you're going into somebody's house, always say something nice about their yard or their house or something. Because most, especially women, do a lot of work in their house. The men do a lot of work in their yard. And it breaks the ice when you say something about how nice their yard looks or how nice their... Or you see the pictures of their kids. You got to break the ice some way. Here Jesus said, "Give me the drink." I'm going to say 9 times out of 10, if you ask the right way, most people will respond the right way. But if you go in thinking you're so much better, I'm going to tell you what happened to a preacher friend of mine. He had some visitors come to visit him, and they asked him how he got saved. He told them, "By the blood of Jesus." "Well, did you do this, do this, do this?" Well, the next week, a whole bunch of them come back. Said, "You didn't get saved. You went about it the wrong way." Listen to me. If you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, you're saved. Well, they didn't do it exactly this way. Start the conversation. He overcame the barriers that she put up. And some had already existed. Every time you start talking to somebody about the Lord, they're going to put up barriers. "Well, Dennis, I remember what you used to do." "Well, John, I remember when you was in jail." You want me to keep going? I mean, every one of us in here, we can say something negative about every one of us in here. It's under the blood. It's under the blood. First of all, there was a barrier of sin. Look at verse 16. Jesus said unto her, "Go call thy husband and come hither." And then she goes on and she admits she has the sin. Second, there was a barrier of race. Verse 9. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, "How is it thou being a Jew askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." And then, thirdly, there was the barrier of sex. A Jewish man did not ask the woman for anything. Remember, the woman was beneath. She was behind the man, especially a Samaritan woman. She was a dog. He would not ask her for the time of day. And I hate to say it, there's still some men like that today that treat women like that. Women is an important part of the church. Study the upper room. Men and women was there. Study who was at the grave that morning. Who was there? Men wasn't. The woman was. But anyway. And finally, There was the barrier of religion. Look at verse 20. Our fathers worshiped this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Remember, the Samaritans couldn't go to Jerusalem to worship. They wouldn't let them. Remember, study the Old Testament. Gentiles could not go into the tabernacle or into the temple. They could go to the outer court, but that's as far as they could go. So there was a barrier there. But Jesus answered everyone. Well, preacher, I can't answer the questions in the Bible. Listen to me. Nobody can answer all the questions in the Bible. I cannot answer certain questions. But I can tell them this. I know one day I was lost, and Jesus came into my heart. Now I'm saved. One day I was blind. Now I see. One day I was on my way to hell. People argue about dresses. They'll argue about long hair. They'll argue about smoking. They'll argue about speaking in tongues. They'll argue about all this stuff. But when you get to Calvary and you tell them what Jesus has done for you, they can't argue that. And you don't have to try to, well, I think it. No, Jesus saved me. I can't tell you everything happened that day, but all I know, I fell down an old-fashioned altar lost, and when I got up, I was saved, and my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I'm on my way to heaven, and I want you to go with me. Amen. We got to have a concern. We got to go out of our way sometimes. We got to be able to talk to them. We got to start the conversation. We got to go through the barriers. They going to put up barriers ever? Anybody in here, before you got saved, didn't you come up with an excuse you didn't need to? Hypocrites in the church. I'm as good as he is. You probably are, but he's under the blood. Are you under it? Lord, help us. We come up with excuses. But once we get saved, we realize there wasn't no excuse. Why did it take us so long to admit He's God, He's everything? It's wonderful being saved. People act like you're trying to put a plague on them when you start talking to them about Jesus. What are you trying to do to me? Trying to give you the best thing that ever happened to me. But we can't give up. We got to keep. When people put up these barriers, if you can't answer the question in the Bible, don't try to make it up. Tell them, I don't know. But I know this. Yes. Jesus saved me and He's coming back for me. Because chances are, they know a little bit about the Bible if they've asked you something like that and you try to blow smoke. And they're going to see you're not real. Be honest. I don't know. And then, He did not reproach or scold her. But He made her face up to her sin. Remember He said, verse 16 through 19, Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast said well, I have no husband. Thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. Is that saith thou truly? He made her admit, I'm a sinner. You cannot be saved until you get lost. Backslid person. You cannot get right until you admit I'm wrong. And all of us, men, women, boys, and girls, hate to admit I'm wrong. But God's never wrong, so it has to be me and you wrong, not Him. A person has got to be lost before they can be saved. They have to admit I'm a sinner. And this is what Christ did. The master soul winner said, you're not with your husband. You've had five husbands. Now I'm going to ask the ladies something. What about a lady like that walked into church? She had the reputation around Cherville. Maybe her dress was just a little bit too short, but maybe that's all she had. How would you act towards your husbands? How would you act? Would you make sure you was in between her and your husband? Would you already try to turn everybody against her because you knew what she's like? Or would you sit there and pray, God save her. God please save her. God save her. Women, you got awful quiet on me. Amen. Think about it. How do we act when somebody comes into church maybe not dressed exactly right? I realize we've got to be cautious these days. I realize that. I've said this many a time. That a lot in here carries guns. And I know that. If you don't carry a gun, you get your family and you get down. Protect your family. They come in after me. Well, guess what? I'm going to shoot back. And if you're setting up, I might shoot you. So get down. Because I ain't that good a shot. I can't see good anymore. But I'm going to shoot back. So if you're down, I ain't got to worry about shooting you. And by the time they get me, Johnny's going to have them. Or Joey, or somebody back that way is going to have them. Are you seeing what I'm trying to say? But don't be so cautious over anybody that comes into church that we put a guard up against them and they're not welcome here. Because if we do that, we'll never see anybody get saved. Every one of us in here was a sinner. When I made things right with God, my beard was down to here. Hair was curly. You know my hair curls when it grows out? It's gray now. But but what I'm trying to tell you is we got to look over and love them anyway. Every one of us in here has got a past. I hope and pray none of your past is as bad as mine. I had a past. But one day Jesus came by. Do you know the devil still throws up my past? My family still throws up my past. God's never thrown it up once. We have to be careful when we find out something about somebody's past that we don't ruin that person. Be careful. God will still save whosoever will. So it's mine and your job not to try to pick and choose who God will save. Just get the message out to whosoever. Here's a Samaritan woman. Let's go on. I got one more point. He spoke of that which alone he could meet, her need. She needed eternal life. Look at verse 14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Then he tells her about salvation. Look at verse 22. You worship and you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Salvation. She needed Jesus. He didn't need her. But he went out of his way for her. Now I got a last point. Jesus went out of his way for me. And he went out of his way for you. Went to a place called Calvary. And shed his blood so that me and you could be saved. It's mine and your job as Christians to learn everything we can about God's Word. Not to sit at home And don't use the excuse, I don't know enough. I'm going to tell you something God still honors and you don't hear of it much anymore. Prayer and fasting. If you want power to witness, you want power to do anything for God. Now don't come in here telling, oh, I'm fasting. No, don't do that. You just got your reward. Do it. And see, don't God bless it. But don't just fast. You got to pray. If you're like me, all of you know I'm diabetic. I got to eat certain times and all this. I love coffee. And all of you know I love coffee. I fast with coffee. You say, well, preacher, that ain't really fast. When you love coffee the way I love coffee, that's fasting. Find something that... Tonight, we didn't have to worry about my sugar dropping. It was 312 when I started. But what I'm trying to get you to see, we got to quit making excuses. Every one of us in here, every one of us in here makes excuses why we can't witness to that person. If we witness to them, they might just become a person we like, a child of God. Just tell them about Jesus. You can't control if they get saved or not. What did Jesus tell the disciples up here? I think it might have been what we read this morning about where you're reaping where you sowed not. It was down in this. You reap where you sowed not. Just because you go to somebody's house and they get saved, you just happen to be in the right place at the right time. Somebody else had watered. Somebody else had sowed. Somebody watered and God give the increase. And you just happened to be lucky to be there. You didn't save nobody. Well, so-and-so saved me. No, they didn't. I like what Maze Jackson said one time. Somebody come up to him and said, Brother Maze, you saved me. He looked at him and said, you look like something I'd say. Said, if I saved you, you're in trouble. You're on your way to hell. But if God saved you. And that ain't what I mean, preacher. You was preaching when I got saved. Well, I didn't save you. Jesus saved you. But think about that. Somebody, some whore, had to witness to you. Maybe it was that mama or daddy. Maybe it was that babysitter. Maybe it was somebody bringing you into church. Somebody had to witness to you. Maybe it was a little girl. Maybe it was a big girl. Somebody had to witness to you. So now it's mine and your turn. Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to God's house. You can't force them to come. Let me tell you this, and we're really closing as Rachel comes to piano. Most of the people you invite are not going to come. Most of them's not going to come. But what about that one shows up and gets saved? What about that one? What about that one? What about that grandson that say, I'm going to grandma and grandpa so I don't go to church anymore? What about they'd never started church? Are you seeing what I'm trying to say? Lord, help us. Lord, help me be a better witness. Let me learn from the Master. They've been some great soul winners, but it all starts with Jesus Christ. It all ends with Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can save them anyway. Let's take lessons from Him. Don't take lessons from the world. The world's tried to change the way we do it. In California, they can't even have church. In different things, different. They're saying we need to go out this way and that way with this. We need to feed them a hot dog and a hamburger. No, we don't. We need to forgive them Jesus. That hot dog or hamburger will satisfy them a little while. Jesus will satisfy for eternity. Let's give them that. As Rachel plays. Oh, dear God, help me be the witness that I need to be, Lord.